Okay, back to bed.
And welcome to your weekly podcastination.
He's changed it again. Hello, folks. Welcome to Procrastination. My
every week
ridiculous co-host Jason likes to mix our name up
every time.
Nobody's going to know what the hell the show's called
until they will when they download it.
It's because we'll have a graphic.
Exactly. And we'll keep it the same, you know, the same name there, just not want to introduce it.
Yeah. Just, yeah. Every time you talk, it's something different. Like now. What is it now?
The pontificating podcastination of podcastivity.
Of doom.
Of doom.
I like that better.
Yes.
Well, what's going on, folks? This is this week's episode. We decided to come at you with a new top five for the week.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. In the Nassau Coliseum, Hulk Hogan fighting Randy Roddy Ratty.
Randy Roddy Ratty?
Yes.
The combination of Randy Savage, Roddy Piper, and an
Randy
Arab
Orton
person?
Randy Orton.
Randy Orton.
Which I don't even like him, so I'm not sure why I included him in that.
Oh,
pretty
man.
Much any wrestling after about 2005, I don't care about.
You were done.
Yeah, I really was. And nice. I think everybody should be.
Well, this week's procrastination is going to be our top five wrestlers.
Some
of
wrestling.
All time. Yeah. Of all time.
Doesn't matter heel, babyface, doesn't matter. You will hear us use and misuse tonight more vernacular than you'll ever hear in the history of this podcast. We listen to far too much Stone Cold Steve Austin, and we'd like to think that we know a thing or two.
And we don't know shit.
Exactly. We have never wrestled.
Nope.
Neither amateur or professional.
We have friends that have wrestled, but no,
we do.
We haven't.
Well, I mean, I guess technically
when we were
kids, sure.
Yeah. You just beat the hell out of your siblings, and you were like, oh, elbow drop, and you actually just punched them right in the face.
Yeah, and there was very bad things done in the name of sports entertainment back then. But yeah, we decided...
I'm Hulk Hogan, / smother you with a pillow.
We decided it'd be fun to kind of cover our top five wrestlers and share with you our love of wrestling. Now, I will admit that my love of wrestling has...
diminished?
Much. Over
it's
the past
fizzled
10, 15
yeah,
years.
We've got YouTube and WWE Network, and that way you can go back and you can watch the stuff that you want to.
Back when it was good?
Yeah, it has suffered. It's changed, though. We're in a different media environment than we were, say, in the 80s or the Attitude Era.
And I understand that, and I get why they have backed off. Certainly, some of the high-intensity moves... the high-impact moves that they used to do.
All the blood.
I get it. I completely and totally get it. But at the same time, I believe that it'll never be quite as good for me as it used to be.
I think they'll find a way back to where another peak. But they're going to...
Okay, but can they?
WWE is going to have some competition first. And I had read something the other day, I guess maybe on one of the things I subscribe to on Facebook that follows wrestling, but they said something about maybe on WWE that Vince was trying to get it set to where he was going to be able to show indie promotions on WWE Network.
That's kind of cool.
I think that's an insanely good idea because you need competition. Plus, those are breeding grounds for the future stars.
But here's my problem.
What?
Can it ever get back to the point that it was, and not even the intensity of the Attitude Era.
Okay.
Taking that out of it. Wrestling style they have now, you still don't have the storylines.
No, the writing is different, and I think it's because we're in a different time frame. I think if they went back and started trying to emulate some of that style of writing, some of that style of off-the-cuff... in the ring, make it up as we go, they could probably have a little bit more success than what they're having currently.
I think you're potentially right, but I think the problem is that people are too, to use the Stone Cold phrase, people are too wised up.
That's true.
People know.
The IWC is a very, very smart internet wrestling community.
Yeah. Oh, that was good, sir. Yeah. I like that.
The IWC is very, very smart. They're very, very what does he call them? The smart marks?
Yeah, they're really not marks anymore. People understand, okay, this is a show, and I think that the industry has responded to that, and it's almost like they're trying to do a UFC promotion.
Yeah, and with
moves.
But they've tried to incorporate some of that, but
it's almost like, okay, tonight we're gonna have this guy versus this guy for no real reason.
They need to just throw it out and just go back to what worked.
And I hate to be that guy saying that I kind of want the Ho train back, and I want the Nation of Domination to come back in. I want Farouk.
I'm okay with some of this PG era. I think it needs to be more of a PG-13 era.
I'm fine with the PG era. I'm fine if they took this exact style of wrestling and started making it a soap opera like it used to be.
Yeah.
Because that's what it was.
Yeah.
It was a men's soap opera in tights.
And it is still a little bit, but now it's... I have a hard time following it. I still watch all the big pay-per-views.
But is it?
And the wrestling is still good.
I mean, you had Sting show up, and this is how old my last time watching one of the big events was. Sting shows up to fight Triple H WrestleMania several years ago. Yeah. That's what I'll call it. And they try to rehash DX. And rehash
NWO,
and some people were on the same side and on both sides at some point during that.
Yep.
And there was really no reason for Triple H and Sting to fight, except for the fact that it was Triple H and Sting.
They were just going back to the Monday Night Wars. It was WCW versus NW or WCW versus WWFE. As Jason's being beaten to death by Penelope the Pod Puppy's tail at this moment.
I would love if we could video it because I'm getting smacked in the head.
The dog has turned around and is just waffling him with the tail. This is amazing.
She could win a tennis match with that thing.
Yeah.
But no, I just, again, for that one, why was NWO there? Why was DX there? You haven't had them at all. We're trying to have this throwback for no reason.
They were just going for that retro. They were just trying to make old school WCW fans happy. But yeah, then they didn't even let Sting go over.
No, and that leads to a whole different thing because he should never have been allowed back in the ring.
No, he was all right. He was okay for a 55-year-old man.
If I agree, if I had on shades and I was a little drunk, it might have been a decent match. Actually, if I had on blackout sunglasses in another room just hearing the TV and I was high, it might have been a good match. But
if you were
very
high,
very,
it would have been amazing.
But it was very, very lame. It just wasn't as good as it should be or as it could be.
No.
I don't think it's because of the wrestling style. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not a big fan of some of the younger wrestlers right now because there's not a lot of polish.
No, they're very fresh.
Most of them haven't paid their dues. Most of them have not sat back and had to go through what your Ric Flairs went through.
What Hogan went through.
What Stone Cold went through. That last run of guys into the Attitude Era, I don't know who you would pick out of that group to be, you know, maybe it's Rhino.
Rhino, and you got your guys.
You had some younger guys,
Chris
who came
Jericho
in then.
And Raven, and
yeah, but Chris Jericho
RVD
had been in it for a long, long time.
Yeah,
at that
but
point.
He had made his way through the. Yeah. He'd been to Japan. He went to
exactly.
ECW. He went everywhere. He earned his stripes.
And those cats spent the time learning the business, learning how to wrestle, learning how to tell a story, learning how to rock the mic. And
rock the mic.
Exactly. And nowadays, I just don't think that the guys have that much polish on them.
No.
Now, some of them are getting better. John Cena, I enjoy watching him wrestle.
Yeah, but he's holy cow, he's been the face of the company for like 15 years.
Exactly. And he came in at the tail end of that Attitude Era.
Yeah.
Would he have made the impact that he made during the height of the Attitude Era? I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
Possibly?
Because they stuck him with Kurt Angle, so Kurt Angle helped him a lot.
He did. And Kurt Angle was always good, but again, you had guys who were superlative at their art form.
Yes.
Now, let's before we jump into our top five, let's get down to what we're referring to. We're talking about wrestling. We're talking about professional wrestling. We're talking about the WWE and the WWF.
And WCW.
And WCW. Because some of mine, I think, do cross over into that as well.
Not to bash on the Indies.
But, no, not but at all. I would include the Smoky Mountain set in this. Yeah. I would include Memphis Wrestling.
Yep.
God, that should have been my number five. Crap. I'm going to have an honorable mention category like you honorable would not believe.
Mention. He honorable mentioned on the last top five, and it took like 45 extra minutes.
Shut your face. I'll make this a separate podcast just about wrestlers I like that I forgot about.
He's going to get on. He's not going to do anything. There's not going to be any words. He's going to go, honorable mention category.
And Jason. I'm just going to start reading names.
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
But not Ted DiBiase. Fuck Ted DiBiase. No, I'm kidding.
Junior or senior?
See, I haven't watched his son.
He was okay.
I haven't watched him at all. It's kind of like, who's the other one?
You talking about Cody Rhodes?
Yes. He's all right.
He's okay. He's
much better.
Tremendously better.
He's much better. He's not his brother, and he sure as hell's not his father.
Nobody could touch Goldust.
No,
Goldust was in a category of his own. I wouldn't say he was better than his father. They are polar opposites,
and they have different styles.
Yeah, polar opposites.
And Cody has a different style.
Yes,
I like Cody's stuff now that he's in the Indies more than I did when he was WWE.
I appreciate him more now that he's in
for sure.
Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
So,
but I don't. A lot of those juniors, I'm just not... It's like they got a pass because of their pedigree.
Yeah.
And they never had to actually go work for it. And I'm sure they would disagree with me and probably beat my ass.
Well, yeah.
But they didn't.
On the same time, it's just... This is our own perspective.
Yeah.
Being old school.
And not being in the business. Fans. And just watching them work. Again, I haven't watched a whole lot of the new stuff. One of the last matches I watched, I think, was Cody Rhodes and... Randy Orton against Triple H and Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
And
from WrestleMania
several years back.
From 8-9 years ago.
And I'm telling you, you watch that match and you see two senior wrestlers carry the entire match.
Oh, sure.
And never falter.
Well, because they had to prosper. They were made to prosper. If they wanted to stay alive, they were made to prosper in an era where if they didn't figure it out as they went, that was the end of the ball game.
And you didn't work.
Yeah.
And if you got hurt, you stayed in the match.
Yeah.
Now again, I am not suggesting
that
they should ever allow things like the Hell in a Cell match where Mick Foley fell through the roof to ever occur again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, have you seen any of the tumbles that Shane McMahon's taken off of the cage in the last couple of years?
No, but he's always been a crazy person.
He has jumped off the top of the cell, which is bigger now than it was.
Excellent.
He has jumped off the cage through a table trying to elbow drop the Undertaker. He has been thrown off the cage.
By the Undertaker?
No. No, I've gotten that wrong. Undertaker threw him off. And then he jumped off the cage in a match just recently with Kevin Owens, I think.
It's hysterical, though, that Shane is now the one...
Shane's a draw.
And he's... Well, he always has been.
Yes, he has.
Anybody who says he wasn't, believe the hype and completely swallowed his heel move every time.
Yes.
Because he's always been a draw.
And any of this procrastination... Go out and get, even just for a month, subscribe to WWE Network
just check it out.
Binge the shit out of it.
And go look for those, listen to Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast, because he will throw you a match to watch every now and then that's an old school match that will blow your freaking mind.
And he'll wise you up on stuff unintentionally. But I've learned so much about the wrestling industry just listening to his podcast. That's not even based about wrestling. Half the time he's talking about neon clocks and killing flies.
And going hunting.
And with Teddy Fowler.
With Teddy Fowler. But it really is, at the end of the day, wrestling, it was always one of those things as a kid that I loved to watch. I still like watching the old stuff. I would still go back and watch stuff from the 80s.
Even Glow, man.
Oh, and that then the TV show that they've done on Netflix, is superb.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. So I'm waiting on season two.
Now that we have buttered
the bread.
You know, we've filleted the WWF for a while. Let's talk about our top five.
Okay, so I don't remember who went first last time.
I don't either, so you go first this time.
Oh, you piece of crap. God, I think you pulled that crap on me last time.
I think I did too.
All right, so
I wonder how many similarities we're going to have this time.
I don't think we'll have any.
We might not.
We may have one.
Because all your wrestlers suck anyway.
Bird.
Go ahead with your lame number five.
That was a non-audio firing of a bird at Jason. Because
number five is going to be Doink.
Dude, if it had been Doink.
That would be incredible.
I would have laughed so hard.
I know.
It would be appreciated to have a Doink on a list.
I actually
Doink
always
sure as hell isn't going to be on my top five
Doink
of all time.
Doink was one of the worst gimmicks ever, but I loved it.
I liked it when he was the evil clown.
And when they had Dink with him.
Well, that was when he was a good clown, and that was just Job City, so.
It really was.
Okay, so top five, number five for me, Jeff Hardy.
Oh, that's a good pull.
Jeff Hardy, because the Hardy Boys in general, and the whole tag team scene with Edge
Tom
and Christian.
Hardy's brother?
No, he's not. He has no relation to me. But if he is, he shall help me burn the city to the ground.
Come out of the shadows, Lita, and show us the whale tail.
Wow. That was her job.
Yes, indeed.
Stick the whale tail.
Lita was badass.
No, she was. She was badass. And that's why she's in the Hall of Fame.
She's on my honorable mention, too. Go ahead.
Honorable mention for Lita.
I'm telling you.
Fucking Amy Dumas.
She's amazing.
Yeah. But Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy's in my top five. He is number five because the Hardy Boys, Edge and Christian, the Dudley Boys, they really...
TLC matches at the yin-yang.
I mean, there was a tag team division at that time. Prior to that, it had kind of really fizzled for tag teams.
It really had.
And then they really lit it back up when those three teams, plus a lot more, Too Cool and some others...
Oh, yeah.
Came
Too
in and
cool. Holy crap.
Yeah, right?
You were digging for these now, sir.
Nah, well. I mean,
that's amazing.
That was life in high school, man.
Yeah, sure.
That was life.
Well, college for me. We would have two TVs
that's
set
because
up in
you're
a room.
Significantly older
that's
than
right.
me.
Right. We'd be watching WCW and WWF. We'd mute one.
I had two TVs with built-in VCRs, and I would record both programs and run back and forth between the rooms.
No, we
but
weren't
I recorded
that...
them so that if I missed something, I could go back and watch it.
We weren't that sophisticated.
I ran a game, man.
That's awesome.
And then I'd take them to school, and we'd watch them in the changing room while we were getting ready for weight training.
That's excellent.
Along with South Park.
No, Jeff Hardy certainly has to be on that list. He was, talk about one of the guys who reinvented being a high flyer.
Yeah. Well, and he wasn't tiny like some of the luchas.
No. Though matches with luchas and him were amazing.
Yeah.
But he had Swanton Bomb.
Yep. Whisper in the Wind.
He was an amazing wrestler. He had his own look. Very kind of punky, gothic.
Yep.
Well, and just awesome.
They were very unique. Like you said, their movesets were very stylized specifically for him.
For sure. Yeah.
And I mean, he was one of my favorites, and I think we went and watched a house show here in Knoxville, and the Hardy Boys fought. Maybe it was Too Cool. I don't know.
That's awesome.
But the Hardy Boys fought, so I got to watch him live. It was amazing.
That's cool.
He had lots of charisma, even when he wasn't bad on the mic. He wasn't the best on the mic, but he could talk. But just his persona,
that look,
yeah,
and just the intensity. I mean, you,
oh yeah,
I always
and he could take one hell of a beating.
No kidding. I always preferred him over Matt Hardy too. He wasn't Matt was good. Matt obviously was the muscle,
yeah,
of that particular group.
Yes,
but I always preferred Jeff over Matt.
Yeah,
and even when Jeff would do his single stuff.
Yes, and well, and Matt's reinvented himself in the past couple of years, and so has Jeff, and they've not been able to do anything with it, but
But Matt's gone weird.
He did, but it's good. It's good. It's made people look at him
again.
What
is he calling himself?
He can't call himself what he's supposed to. He was Broken Matt Hardy.
Oh,
and
that's
he talked
right.
like a crackhead, and he dressed even weirder. And he looked like Magneto had tried to siphon the power out of him, and it turned his hair white, but just in one streak.
Oh, jeez.
That was an X-Men reference just for you.
It was good. I liked it. out of the worst rendition of Rogue
oh, yeah.
ever.
Awful. Awful.
and everybody loves it, and I'm like, no. but, yeah, no, Jeff Hardy, though, I agree with you.
Okay, so what is your number five?
I think it's going to surprise you. Nash.
Kevin Nash?
Big Sexy.
Wow. Diesel Power.
I'm telling you,
you just wanted to take it in the rear Diesel Power style.
I have loved Kevin Nash since he was Diesel.
Oh, yeah. Come on, you liked him when he was Oz.
Was that his first gimmick?
No. He was at WCW before WWF brought him over as Diesel.
Was he really?
He was the great and powerful Oz. He was Vinny Vegas.
Oh, I do remember Vinny Vegas.
Vinny Vegas was awful. Oz was even worse because he trotted to the ring in terrible, terrible attire. He had on green glittery pants, and he had on a robe, and
those are some big pants too.
Yeah, he wore it was supposed to look like a plastic mask, but it looked more like somebody had done it out of paper mache.
That, yeah.
It was supposed to be like an Oz mask. He had a terrible white hair and this like cap that sat on his head. It looked like
That's
a booze
funny.
Hat from Aladdin. So he had some bad, bad gimmicks before he got the Diesel gimmick.
That God, I hadn't even thought about Vinny Vegas in forever. Nash is not the best wrestler.
No.
By any stretch of the imagination?
No, but he's got charisma out the yin-yang, dude.
There is nobody. He and Scott Hall, I think, were the first ones for me who came out and said, I'm my name.
This is me.
I'm
a real dude.
And they went to WCW, and you could tell that they were the cream of the crop.
Rise to the top, never eat the pig, because the pig is the cop.
Wow. It was good, sir. I liked it.
Who was it? I'm testing
Macho
you.
Macho Man, wasn't it?
No.
No.
That rap. Who was the rap?
Oh.
House of Pain.
Oh, that's right. That's
Jump
right.
Around.
God, you lost me. Oh. That sounded like a Macho Man reference.
That
though,
could.
Too.
That Wow, that really could have been a Macho Man.
Wouldn't it? Can monologue. You do it as Macho Man?
I tried to think it through. I probably.
You work on it in your head while I love on Kevin Nash some more. No, there's just something about his move set was never that impressive, but his jackknife power bomb.
Yeah, his jackknife drop you on top of your head.
Yeah, potentially I might cripple you. And that huge boot that he would do.
Oh yeah, the boot was great.
The stepping over the top rope.
Slash squish your nuts on the top rope.
That's exactly right. It just, there was something about Kevin Nash that always, whenever they handed him Mike, I was like, I'm hooked.
I'm
keep
in.
Talking.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't turn the channel. Don't go to a different place. We've got to see what he's going to say because you just never knew.
Yeah.
You just never knew. But yeah, Kevin Nash is my number five.
Okay. All right. Then we go back to me for number four. I don't know. Should I make you do your number four?
I can do my number four.
Do your number four. Let's see who it is.
Ric Flair.
Ooh. That's good. That's the opposite side of the coin. It's the opposite side of the coin for me.
Seriously? Well, yeah. What's your four?
Hogan.
Wow. We both went a little old school for it.
Yeah.
Mine a little older school.
A little older school. Not by much.
Not by much.
But they were polar opposites. Doing the same thing at the same time. Flair was pushing WCW up the hill.
Oh, yeah.
Or the AWA or NWA or whatever.
Whatever the hell it was called.
Because
at that point.
At that point, it was AWA, NWA, WCW.
Oh, but WWF.
All three of those were one company.
Oh, yeah. No,
when Flair was the world heavyweight champion with 25 pounds of gold or whatever, or 10 pounds of gold. God. A big gold belt.
There's something about, and Flair, I can tell you that prior to Steve Austin's podcast, Flair probably wouldn't have been on my list.
Really?
He's always been somebody I enjoyed watching wrestle.
One of the greatest of all time.
Exactly. But
just like Hogan.
The amount of love that Stone Cold shows.
Oh, yeah.
For Ric Flair, and when he brings it up, every single wrestler.
Yeah.
Pays their props to Ric Flair.
Yeah. And well, says, rightfully so. I mean, he set the bar. So did Hogan, but they were, again, opposite sides of the coin.
Exactly.
I mean, they were different in styles. Their characters were different, but their what's the word I'm looking for? Their boastfulness
and their tactics in the ring. Hogan never impressed me as much as a wrestler as Ric Flair.
Hogan impressed me more as a fan pleaser.
And as a physical specimen.
Oh, man. And he was a monster.
But Ric Flair, the reason that he is my number four is whenever he took the ring, much like Kevin Nash, you knew what was going to happen.
Sure.
You knew at some point he was going to get on his knees and beg.
Yep.
You knew at some point
he was going to take the turnbuckle flip.
Oh, for sure.
Yep.
That somebody was going into a figure four.
Yep.
He would probably then he would reverse it.
Yeah. And he was going to chop the hell out of somebody's chest.
Oh, just over and over until they were blood red.
Oh, yeah.
And especially in the later years of the Attitude Era, that he was going to cut his forehead and bleed like a stuck
the
pig.
The second he came through the under the screen, through the curtain, he was like, and I'm out. Cut. Bleed.
His forehead was just going to just crimson.
Gush blood.
That wonderful hair would just be the color of
Santa Claus's robe.
There you go. And again, he was just one of those. Hogan, though, I tell you.
Hogan could bleed, too.
Hogan could bleed,
too. Like the best, just with the best of them.
And there was something about Hogan when he came into the ring, whether even when he was a heel.
Yeah.
That he got that pop from
the
crowd.
He had the charisma. That's what I was looking for a minute ago. They both have charisma beyond anybody else.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there are a few that touch it. You've got your Austin, you've got your Rock, you've got your Cena's. They've got that same charisma. Triple H.
For sure.
You've got, I'm trying to think of some of the other WCW guys.
But especially back in the day when you heard Hogan's music hit.
Especially the real American music. Oh, or even when he was Hollywood and he was using Jimi Hendrix's Voodoo Child.
But in particular, when you heard his music hit, when it was the, you know, he was the all-American hero.
Superhero.
There's a reason why it wasn't just WWF's Rock and Wrestling.
Yeah.
It was Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling.
It was. Yeah.
Because it had to be.
Yeah.
There was really
he was the attraction.
Yeah. And it was he was incredible to watch.
Yeah. As was Flair.
And then you add to Hogan's list of big moments in the ring, slamming Andre the Giant.
Oh, yeah.
The amount of respect that Andre had for him to allow him
to let him to pick him up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have to.
No.
Andre could
have botched that in the blink of an eye.
He could have just grabbed him by the neck and
squashed him
and held him to the ground if he wanted to, but he allowed it to happen.
And you know, the crazy thing was, Hogan is 6'7".
And looked like a child.
Look like a little person compared to Andre. He was 6'7", 330 at his peak when he had all the pythons and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Hogan was probably 330.
Oh, at least.
Easy. He was a monster of a human being. But Andre was still so much bigger.
And
he's on my honorable mentions.
Oh, and again, he would be on mine as well.
Yes.
It's one of those things, much like Hogan.
Hey, you want a peanut?
See, when you say that I think about Hulk Hogan being in Rocky III as Thunder Lips.
Thunder Lips.
God, that was so good. And you really see how big of a son of a gun he is in that.
Yeah, next
because
to 5 foot
Stallone looks
six
like
Stallone.
A child. And Stallone was kid. Huge in number three.
Yeah, he was.
But it just, it really is, it's kind of incredible. Those two guys in particular, how much they did for that industry.
Yeah.
And
how they ran side by side for as long as they did. And both of them were still the top draw for 15, 20 years.
Well, and Ric Flair has retired now.
Yes. Well, it's because he's like 700 years old.
But even into his 60s?
Yep.
Certainly late 50s.
Yep.
He could walk in and school somebody.
Oh, easy.
And make it look good.
Yep. Without question.
And the fact that somebody like him walked in and did those kind of jobs for those guys.
Yeah.
And set them up.
Rolled over and built them.
Yeah.
By taking the fall.
Or even not.
Well, and Hogan's done that some, but Hogan is not known to build somebody unless he favors them big time.
Well, and now Hogan doesn't have that as an option.
No.
But Ric Flair, just both of those. Good number four pick, sir.
I agree. Your number four was excellent.
Well, let's do this again. Number three at the same time.
All right.
Well, hang on, though, because my tablet went to sleep.
But we may, this may be our crossover. My number three, The Rock.
No, but my number three works well with yours. Mick Foley.
Oh, see? Nice. Rock and sock connection.
That's exactly right. Mick Foley was one of those wrestlers that...
Mankind, Dude Love, Cactus Jack.
Cactus Jack. That when I first saw the Mankind gimmick, I wasn't sure that I dug it.
Or his very first foray in WWF as Jack Foley.
See, I don't remember
that.
He was a jobber.
Yeah. He wrestled like two matches, and then he was out, and he went and did the everybody else.
Well, he was Cactus. That was his first big gimmick, though, was Cactus Jack, right?
Yes, but his first foray with WWF was when he was still a jobber.
Oh, sure.
He was Jack Foley.
And dad's name.
Yes. And then he went and became Cactus Jack, doing WCW and the independents in Japan. Yeah. And that's where he really...
And the psychotic stuff.
Because he's insane.
Barbed wire, thumbtacks, and C4.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Well, you know, you just don't need pieces of your body.
He's out of his mind.
Yep. Without question.
Completely out of his mind.
Without question.
Now, I say that in jest because he does have some issues now with memory loss.
Yes.
Due to the number of concussions he took over.
Well, that's because
his time
he got
wrestling.
Like eight concussions a match.
Man.
Because they were, between him and The Rock, they were swinging chairs like they were hitting home runs.
Well, and with Mick Foley, there was something about the way that he took a bump. The way that he took a chair
usually
shot,
with his face.
Yeah, whatever it was, and his ability to sell that hit.
Yeah.
That made me fall in love with how he wrestled.
Yeah.
Because I never did watch him that much as Cactus Jack.
When he was Cactus Jack at WCW days. Yeah.
I picked him up a lot more when he was Mankind.
I've watched some of that stuff, going back and watching some older stuff on the network. And watching him take flat
Funk.
Back bumps off the side of the ring when WCW was in their no pads around the ring days.
Yeah.
He would take flat back bumps
on
the concrete from 4.5 feet in the air.
And potentially the dumbest, most dangerous finishing move ever. The flying elbow off the side of the ring onto the concrete.
Yeah, he liked to drop that one.
There's no way.
Well,
I think I would just end up in a puddle. Just in a puddle of blood and gore.
Oh, it hurts so bad.
You're going to have to drag me out of here because I can't move anymore.
Well, and when he got his head tied up in the ropes and it tore his ear off.
Oh, fighting Vader, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Vader tied him up in the ropes.
And the Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah, with
where
Taker.
Where you can see his tooth sticking out of his
nose.
Sticking
out of his nose through the hole in his lip after he's been concussed, thrown off a cell, tossed through the cell top.
I would have loved to have been there. On top of the ring when he looked at The Undertaker and said, throw me off the top.
Oh, man.
Because you know in that few moments of conversation they had, because they could probably have pretty open conversation because both
there.
Their faces were kind of covered by hair and mask and everything else.
Well, you know, you got to
know.
You know
Taker went, what?
Yeah.
And Foley went, no, 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 seriously, throw me off the top of the cell. And in my head, Undertaker went, no.
Yeah.
And they I don't really want to do this conversation.
Yeah. But hang on, I got to body slam you real quick. We're going to finish this in a second.
And then he was like, no, no, really, I'm going to back up. You're going to throw me off the top. They both kind of had to aim him at a table.
Yeah.
And the guys down there didn't know what was going to happen from what everybody says.
Yeah. And it looks legit because, and even though that sale is not as big as what they use now, holy goodness. No way. I wouldn't jump off that cell onto a trampoline.
No, no, not onto a big air mat like you would use.
Yeah, in a stunt show.
Yeah. And he was just like, no, no, throw me off. And
I got there's a table, it'll collapse.
It's built to collapse.
Blam!
And I'm going to land on the monitors that are built into it. Yeah. And I'm going to not have a kidney anymore.
I'm going to have lots of internal bleeding. But hang on, because I'll be back to interfere in the main event.
And he's also a good writer. He writes children's books.
He's smart.
His connection weird, to Santa Claus.
Weird connection with Santa Claus. That's fine. It's fine. I don't have a problem with it. But it's just, it's strange.
It creeps me out.
A little bit. A little bit.
But it's still Mick Foley.
It is. And now on the flip side of it, The Rock.
Maybe
the most electrifying man in all of entertainment.
He can do no wrong.
Nope.
He really can't.
His movie career has been stellar.
And solid.
And he knows how to
say what they want to. I don't give a crap. He knows
how to deliver.
Yeah.
He was amazing in the ring. He had the physique. He had the charisma. He had the attitude that needed to be there.
And you talk about somebody who had some really bad looks and some bad gimmicks prior to
Rocky Maivia.
Oh my God. But they brought him in as his last name.
Because it's his grandfather's last name.
Yeah.
Chief Maivia. Chief Peter Maivia.
And yeah, then, I think that's right.
And then his father's name, Rocky Johnson.
Yeah.
Rocky Maivia.
God, holy shit. That dude, hair. Dude,
that hair. The hair.
The hair and the chains and the turtleneck.
Oh, God.
It is memed every Halloween. You see some little kid dressed as The Rock from that era. He was part of the Nation of Domination with Farouk.
With Farouk. Ron Simmons.
Ron Simmons.
Honorable mention, Ron Simmons.
I freaking love Ron Simmons. He's one of the guys.
Do you remember what his tag team was with Butch Reed? Do you remember, they were in WCW. He was the first ever African-American heavyweight champion in wrestling.
I knew that, but I can't place him with Butch Reed.
He was a tag team in WCW. They had one of the best tag team names ever, and it was so simple. Are you ready? Doom. That was it.
That's right.
They were Doom, him and Butch Reed.
That's a
Doom.
That's a
and they came and they laid waste. They were basically,
I was about to say Ron Simmons though.
They were the African American knockoff of the Legion of Doom.
Oh, clearly. What a rush.
There it is. See, he's been waiting all podcast to use that.
Their honorable mention as well.
Honorable mention Legion of Doom.
Holy crap.
But yeah, Ron Simmons, he's the man. I like Farouk.
Never much on the mic. But when you're built like that?
No, and then you get in the ring and you just decimate people.
And could take a hit, but when he clotheslined somebody?
Yeah, him and
it looked as if they were dead.
Him and Bradshaw both. When they hit people, you know it hurt.
What happened to him?
Bradshaw's still in it. He was on the announce team. Now. I don't like him.
I can't stand him now.
Apparently he's always been a bit of a cocksucker, so.
I can see that, but I always dug him as one of the acolytes when he was JBL.
Yeah, well, yeah, when he didn't talk.
And now I'm just like, oh, man, he's just a piece of shit.
Well, I liked him when they did that, when they were doing the APA thing, and you'd see him backstage playing cards and smoking cigars.
Yes,
and then they'd come out and kick some ass and go back to the back.
And there wasn't a whole lot of talking.
Nope.
And you sometimes, what was Ron Simmons had a catchphrase.
It was pretty simple, just like damn. Or Doom, it was damn.
It was damn, that's right. Damn!
Yeah, that was it.
I love
everybody'd be talking, and it'd get real quiet, and he'd look at them real kind of cockeyed and go, damn!
But his time as Farouk?
Yeah.
It was just lame.
Oh, yeah. When they had him in the gladiator pads.
That being said, the matches that the Nation had were amazing.
Yes.
Because you had some talented cats in there.
Yeah, you did.
And you had this up-and-comer,
The Rock.
Rocky Maivia.
Rocky. And then it wasn't long after he joined the Nation that he just dropped Rocky Maivia and became the Rock.
And all of a sudden, you went, damn, he's a big son of a gun, isn't he?
He's a big dude.
And then he started getting better and better.
And started better. Getting the biggest chops I've ever seen anybody shave on his face. Dude, his chops used to go from his ears to his mouth.
And then at some point, they gave him a mic.
Oh, man. And he lit the place on fire.
And you know it. At that point, the writers in the back went, well, we haven't been utilizing him at all, have we? And somebody slapped. Who's the other guy that I don't like? Vince Russo?
Vince Russo.
Was he writing in?
He was there.
Yeah. Somebody slapped the shit out of him and went, why the hell have we stuck him as a non-talker in the Nation of Domination?
Uh-huh.
This cat can control the entire crowd.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, The Rock is... I'll go see any movies in.
Yeah.
Central Intelligence with Kevin Hart.
I mean, all the way back when he was doing, you know, because he did what? Jumanji just recently.
Is coming out soon.
It's not dropped yet. I want to see it.
Oh,
Even all the way back to when he was Scorpion King. Yeah, Scorpion King. And when Tooth Fairy was good. it's questionable, but it was good. And then he did the one where for Disney where he was the football player, but he found out he had a child. And
I want to say the Gridiron Gang, but that's not it.
That's not it. Gridiron Gang was another one that was amazing. He's good.
Be Cool, where he was a homosexual barber.
Oh, man.
He's just...
with a team. He didn't get a wood bat to beat somebody. He got an aluminum T-ball bat.
He's just fantastic.
He's just The Rock.
God, our number threes were solid. And
they were.
The Rock and Sock connection even thrown in.
Yes.
Without any planning. Yeah. I like it.
Now, I want to go ahead and take a side note for just a second and say this is our top five, but there is a standalone category that lives on its own up in wherever in the ether, where there is only one option in it, and it is the top tier. It's the Undertaker, all by himself.
See, he's my number two.
Oh, really? In my category, he's all by himself and in his own little list.
I would probably agree with that.
Because nobody has ever taken a weird-ass gimmick like what he's got.
And rocked it for 20 years?
And just torn it up in all different methods that he has. I didn't mean to steal your number two.
No, that worked out great.
Yes.
The Undertaker, I remember watching, it may have been his first televised match.
Yeah.
And I was a kid.
His first match with Snuka.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It scared the shit out of me.
He was terrified. He looked legit, like he was just going to murder the people in the ring.
And I thought Paul Bearer was going to molest somebody.
Yeah, he was creepy.
Beside the ring. Maybe he was going to molest the urn, too. I wasn't sure.
Oh, yes.
I had no idea you had a Paul Bearer impersonation. That was fantastic.
Oh, my Undertaker.
Don't ever do that again. That's tragic, and that we're going to have to bleep that out as if it was profanity. Tragic.
I loved Paul Bearer.
Oh, man.
He was creepy, and he did exactly what he was supposed to.
But The Undertaker he's the phenom for a reason.
Yeah.
I still despise the fact they let him lose at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Twice.
Should never have lost.
He shouldn't have lost to Lesnar. I know they were going for shock value.
They were.
But he should not have lost to Lesnar.
No.
And they shouldn't have let... I know they're trying so hard to push Roman Reigns, but they should not have let him lose to Roman Reigns. If that was the case, just let him come to the ring, put his hat down, and walk off. Just be done. Just show the crowd, I've got to ride off in the sunset because I'm pushing 60.
I think it would have been better.
But that, you know, they got to have their retirement matches. Look at Ric Flair's retirement match. Ric Flair's retirement match was epic. Undertaker he's pushed past the point of being able to carry a good match because his body won't let him push to where he needs to be the Undertaker.
No, because he's been the Undertaker.
Yeah.
And he hasn't taken time off unless he was injured.
Except for these last few years where he only shows up for WrestleMania. That's right. And joining the podcast all of a sudden is Jason's illustrious wife, Laura.
Right. But he really was the Undertaker. There's no reason that a guy that big should have been that athletic, should have been
able to fly.
Agile, that able to fly, should have been able to protect his opponents.
Yes.
As well as he did and make sure they didn't, because his finishers were terrifying.
Him and Kane dropping the tombstone the way they do.
And the freaking power bomb that he would do and the huge choke slam. The last ride
power bomb where he lifted them up and gave them the biggest wedgie they've ever had in their life before devastatingly power bombing them through the freaking mat.
And making sure that they were okay the entire time. Or okay as they could be.
Well, yeah. There's only so okay you can be when you come down from that power bomb.
But just really, he should be in the category by himself.
Yeah. Mean Mark Callis.
Just fantastic.
Yeah.
So who was your two?
My real two, Glass Shatters, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
See, I didn't have him on my list because for me, Stone Cold probably is in his own category too.
See, yeah. The number two field is its own category.
Yeah, apparently.
Well, and some of the, I mean, like Rock, seriously.
Ric Flair.
Yeah. I mean, they should all have, they've all got their own pedestals and they stand equally heightened.
And for different reasons.
Yes.
Like
Undertaker is, he is, just like Hogan, he is immortal.
See, Hogan isn't there for me, but I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. Hogan never struck me as being as good a wrestler as
the
rest
of them. No way. No. And Undertaker has just gotten better with age.
Kevin Nash, certainly not.
No.
The Rock, you believed every damn thing you did.
Yes. And if he wanted it to look silly, he can make it look silly.
Yeah.
Like sometimes when he took the stunner and he would flip backwards, up, and you know he was having to do it himself, but you still loved every second of it.
Ric Flair hitting the turnbuckle and flipping upside down and sliding down the turnbuckle and then cutting his forehead and bleeding all over the mat.
He's back to the blood.
I'm telling you, it was amazing to watch. It was good. but Stone Cold's the same way.
Yeah.
Tremendous wrestler. You believed whatever he did.
Yes. Even back.
He worked bad gimmicks.
He did.
Holy fuck. Did he work bad gimmicks?
Yeah. Well, and he made it work.
The ringmaster.
He had the drive to make it work. So even when he just had his black trunks in WCW, he had his blonde hair, and he was stunning Steve Austin.
Part of the.
I'm going to let you trail.
The blonde, the.
Go on.
The bumsh, the, I don't, it was him and the other guy, and I
Brian
can't,
Pillman.
Brian Pillman, and I can't think of their name. The Southside Blondes?
No, I'm just going to let you think on it.
Southern, the SoCal Blondes, the, I don't know. I can't think of what they were called.
The Hollywood Blondes.
Hollywood Blondes, thank you, sir. It escaped me completely.
Him and Brian Pillman.
Yeah. And they were a good tag team.
They were. And they made that Hollywood Blonde, and that was just a bullcrap tag team that they stuck together. He was supposed to go for another run with either the TV title or
something like that,
the U.S. title.
The U.S. title, I think it was.
And they yanked it off of him and made him a tag team and said, hey, you're going to wrestle as tag team.
And it was during when tag teams weren't quite as big as they had been.
Nope. Well, not in WCW. On the flip side of that coin, about the time that he was doing that with Brian Pillman, you still had the Hart Foundation.
Oh, sure.
So,
but it still,
Legion
that also
of Doom.
Was on, WCW was on the outs as well.
Yep. They weren't the
they
powerhouse.
They were
creeping
they were.
On it.
They were.
But they
we
weren't
may have
there
to do
yet.
A separate podcast on that whole Monday Night War thing at some point. But you had, because, you know, nobody's ever talked about it.
No, not at all.
But Stone Cold was incredible. Because all of a sudden, you have this guy who just is... I'm Steve Austin, and I'm pissed off about the fact that I'm not as big as I think I should be, and I'm gonna be the new champion.
And there's asses to be whipped,
and
beers
be my,
to be drunk,
and it could be my boss, and I'm gonna curse and flip people off, and drink beer and catch beers, and I'm gonna.
I think that may have been one of my favorite things about his whole. Run with WWF is watching him catch beers after the
end
of the
match.
It was
really impressive. It was really, really impressive.
Yeah.
And you had this guy who was the everyman.
Yes. He wasn't 300 pounds of rock hard muscle. He wasn't.
No, he was in good damn shape.
He was in really good shape, but he wasn't all cut up.
No. He wasn't Triple H.
He wasn't. He's not 6'7".
No. He's a big guy.
He's big dude. He's, I think he said he was, what, 6'2", 6'3"?
Yeah, something like that.
So reasonable, you know, height for a wrestler of that time.
Braces on both knees.
Because he's got bad knees.
Yeah, simple outfit. Neck. It was, you know, a pair of tights and a vest.
Yep. Sometimes cut off shorts.
Yeah.
Jorts.
And a t-shirt. And, you know, I'm gonna come to the ring and I'm going to yell in my boss's face. I'm going to kick him in the crotch and drop him with a stunner.
Talk some trash and throw the stunner down.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to hit him in the head with a bedpan while he's in the hospital.
That's one of my favorite bits from all time. Clang!
I'm going to drive everybody crazy by saying what?
What?
Every time they try to talk.
What?
And I mean, just... He was fantastic.
Yeah.
He was what the industry needed at the time.
Absolutely. Without question. But I...
And I tell you, a better podcaster you might not find.
Oh, yeah.
Occasionally it sounds like they...
So entertaining.
Occasionally it sounds like they gave the microphone to an eighth grader with Tourette's.
But it still works.
But he's funny as shit.
So entertaining.
Yes.
Especially when he pals up with his best buddy, Teddy Fowler.
I think he and Teddy Fowler ought to do a road tour.
A live tour show?
No, like a TV, like a Top Gear across the world TV
that
show.
That would be in a so truck. Funny.
In Stone Cold Blazer.
Yeah.
And they just, that's what it's called. Stone Cold Blazer.
Nice. Yep.
So Stone Cold, if you want to do
CMT this fall.
I'll be more than happy to run camera or mics or whatever.
That's right.
Go fetch y'all food.
Because we know you're listening.
New hit show, Stone Cold Blazer.
Okay, so we've made it.
All right, number one. You probably know who mine is.
I don't know. You threw me when you put Nash in your list.
I don't know what yours is going to be.
It's a tie. I've got a tie for number one.
Oh, well, go ahead with the tie.
Okay, since I've got two people as my number one
who are
side by side.
Oh, I do know who one of yours is going to be. Go ahead.
Sting.
Yep.
And Bret Hart.
Wow. That's all right.
I have been, since I was a little dude, a Bret Hart fan.
I always dug watching him wrestle.
He is such a technician. He has charisma, but it's different charisma. It's a real intense charisma.
It's I know how good I am.
And I want to see if you can compete with me.
Yeah. And regardless of storyline, whether he was a good guy, bad guy, didn't matter. There was something to the way Bret Hart controlled a match, to the way he talked on the mic.
The way he moved in the ring.
It was always amazing.
Everything snapped.
Yeah.
Everything popped.
Well.
And he was always taking care of who he was in the ring with.
When you're Stu Hart's kid.
Yeah.
And potentially he puts you, when you were a baby, to burp you. into a full Nelson and stretched you out and then you burped, you probably didn't have much of a choice but to be that good.
Yep. So Bret is my all-time number one, and tied that with Sting. And the way that I got stuck on Sting is I loved the Ultimate Warrior when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Every kid loved the Ultimate Warrior when they were a kid because
just
he was
level
just
of crazy,
raging insanity.
Yeah,
with
it
a
was
painted
as if
face,
you, as if you took heroin and testosterone and put it in the same vial and shot it across a ring,
and then painted a face on it.
Oh, he was out of his mind.
He was, and he was insane, and he was huge, and he looked like somebody had chiseled him out of granite.
Well, he was He-Man.
He was.
He was freaking He-Man
with face paint.
And you know,
and
the
tassels.
Streamers, the tassels you have on a bike?
Yep.
That's what he had on his arm.
He had shoestrings tied around his biceps to make them look larger. I was always afraid they were going to explode.
I thought that if you cut him, not only would he bleed, but there would just be, it would just, all of a sudden, all of his blood would come out at one time.
Because he was tied off?
Yes. And he would just...
So I loved the Warrior,
yeah.
But because the Warrior was so sporadic and he frequently fell out, I found... an alternate Warrior who had once been a tag team with Warrior.
Sure.
In Sting. And then I figured out that he used the Scorpion Deathlock / Sharpshooter.
Yep.
Which was Bret Hart's move.
Bret Hart's move.
So Bret Hart being my favorite. And then here's this other guy doing it. And he looks like Warrior. So I started watching Sting. And
Sting
encapsulated
back in the day,
me.
And I tell you, I was always a Sting fan. But when he made the move...
When he went Crowsting.
And went Crowsting, even though I can't stand that movie.
I like that movie.
Oh, the only good thing about that movie is that Brandon Lee died.
That's not cool.
I'm just saying. I can't stand that movie. Knowing that he couldn't be in a sequel and they couldn't make a movie that bad again. I wasn't glad the man was dead, but I was happy. Awful. I'm just saying.
I liked The Crow.
I didn't like
it. But I liked The Crow Sting better than I liked The Crow.
Black and white Sting?
Yes. Quiet Sting, talking Sting.
No talking Sting. Sting, I'm going to stand in the rafters of WCW tapings, and they're going to flash the camera on me. I'm going to bungee jump down into the ring and just beat the shit out of the folks with a bat.
What do I get to do tonight? Well, I don't have to wrestle, but I am going to kick a lot of ass with a big black baseball bat.
For no reason.
I don't like that group of guys. Who are they, NWO? Nope, I just don't like those guys. I'm not racist. I'm just going to beat them
with a bat. And it's, you know, it just is, it's crazy to me that you have somebody who legit was like, well, let's take your gimmick and take all the color out of it, and you're a good talker, so you're never going to speak again.
It's going to be a long time before you get to speak.
And you might not even wrestle for a while. It's going to be 6 months between matches.
Well, he didn't wrestle for a full year.
Oh, that's true.
One full year.
And then we're going to bring you back, and you're going to have a bald spot. Because apparently...
No, he didn't have the bald spot when they brought him back. Are you talking about when they brought him back to wrestle Hogan at Starrcade?
I'm saying when they brought him back to WWE. And he had
that was the first time he'd ever been to WWE.
And he was kind of dumpy Sting.
Yeah, well, I mean, 55 years
Talk
old.
Talk about somebody that they didn't let have their final match. They didn't let him have his final match.
No, he should have had his match with Taker. That should have been his final match.
He couldn't have hung with Taker.
I think, though, with Taker the way that he did these last couple of years, I think it would have been a good thing because both of them, being the ring generals they were, could have made that an epic battle.
But here's the thing.
To end all the darkness in the wrestling.
You go back and that's a really good idea, though. You should be writing for them.
Yeah.
Better than Vince Russo did.
Shenanigans.
Vince Russo show up at the house and try to kill me because he's deranged.
He is a little bit.
I love listening to him talk. I have not listened to his podcast, but he scares me.
He's crazy.
He's certifiable. I think he might. Yeah. He might have killed children as a child. but there was something about Sting prior to his comeback. I'm going to leave that alone. There was something about knowing in WCW. That last year.
Yeah.
Knowing that at any moment, all of a sudden it would flash to the ceiling.
And then you had Sting.
Then he would drop down and
he was the ultimate defender.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
He was
a superhero. And they completely
let him be one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They let him be that dark hero.
Now, you want to see something really strange? Watch the documentary that he did himself about himself, the auto documentary.
Yeah.
Oh,
all right.
Playing himself, and
well,
it. I hate to bash it too much because he delves into his faith, and that seems wrong, but it's weird. It's weird and twisted.
I can see that.
And I liked it, but then again, it was very strange.
So that's my number one. Sting and Bret Hart tied for number one because
my number
they are
better.
Big Van Vader.
No, that'd be awesome, though.
Norman Smiley.
No. Rowdy, Roddy.
Well done. Well done. I knew he'd show up in your list.
Hot Rod is, and while in my brain I want him.
He's all out of gum.
I want him. I came here. In one way, I want to put him in the same place as The Undertaker in his own little realm.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that he's in the middle of all the wrestlers.
I think so, too.
And for me, he's at the tip of the top.
I think so, too. And one of my favorite Piper matches of all time was when he had his run with Bret.
Oh, no.
For the Intercontinental Championship.
For sure.
I think it was earlier 90s, like 93,
yeah, probably so.
94.
Yeah. Piper is one of those guys who paid his dues.
Yeah.
Came through the ranks, started wrestling when he was like 16.
Yeah.
Maybe younger than that.
He was young.
You know, champion here, champion there, did all the different circuits, got traded back and forth.
Yeah.
Wore a kilt to the ring.
Always.
Always. Fought Mr. T. Boxed Mr. T. At WrestleMania 2, I believe it was, or 3. Just, you know, was Hulk Hogan's heel. Was, I think, what made Hogan what he was when the WrestleManias hit.
Yes. He did help make Hulkamania Hulkamania. Yeah.
He's the one who probably set Macho Man, who honorable mention there as well.
Yes. He should be in the list, but I didn't have any room for him.
Spaces.
Yeah.
Still don't apologize for Kevin Nash, though. Piper was, at one time, the best talker that the industry had. May be the best talker they ever had.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree.
He was the first one to have his own segment.
Yes.
Piper's Pit. Only person I ever know that in his own segment broke a real ungimmicked coconut over
Jimmy Snuka's head
that he was talking to.
Superfly Snuka.
And gave him a concussion and knocked him out.
Yeah, hurt him bad.
I mean, this was a very intense individual.
Yes.
Who you didn't want to piss off.
No, you didn't want to cross Piper because he would legitimately like shank you in the back parking lot.
He would. Of all the wrestlers, probably the one who would legit hurt you the most.
Yeah.
And wouldn't care about it.
No, not at all.
And then also when you listen to him talk about wrestling, you see him on shows, and when he was still alive, listened to his podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Probably had the biggest heart for the business and the people in the business.
He did. Just like Stone Cold and Chris Jericho, they and Ric Flair, loved it. They absolutely loved it.
You know, they lived, ate, slept, and drank it. Yeah. Piper was the first one to really have his own movie career.
Yes.
Though you can say what you will about his movies.
Yeah, they were good. They were good B movies.
They Live was fantastic.
And yes.
Hell Comes to Frogtown. With the four penis frog at the end. Two penis frog. Three penis frog?
I don't remember.
Frog man with multiple penises at the end.
Wankers everywhere.
Just a delightful flick.
Yes.
Not what you expect.
No.
But just fantastic.
That was a good list, sir.
It was. All
all the way 11 around. We didn't have hate for anybody in that list.
Not really, no. And there certainly could have been for my number five with Kevin Nash.
But there's no reason to hate on Big Diesel.
Loved. And there's Big some sexy wrestlers that I don't like.
Yes.
But
none on this list.
On the 11 on our list, they were all cream of the crop.
Rise to the top.
And a big.
Never eat the pig because the pig is a cop. Oh, yeah.
I set you up for it and you went for it. I love it. That was good. And there are some big honorable mentions that we left off.
Yes.
Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, yeah. The American Dream.
American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, baby. Dusty Rhodes.
That weird lisp that he had that you couldn't really explain why it was there. No. Horrible pink polka dot suit they made him wear for a while.
Yeah, well, it was black. He wore black and yellow quite a bit.
He did. And then
I'm aware of Jerry Lawler. I'm going to wear the crap out of the black and yellow.
Jerry Lawler?
Yeah. King. The real king.
Dang.
Yeah.
Love me some Jerry Lawler.
Yep. He was classic. I mean, and you got your guys, Jericho.
Oh, Jericho's definitely another one that I hate that wasn't on my list.
Yeah.
I think I intentionally left he and Stone Cold off because, to me, they have transitioned into a different realm in my life as being podcast favorites.
Yep.
And I love their shows.
Sure.
Love watching them wrestle when they used to wrestle.
Oh, yeah.
But I love their podcast shows, too.
I mean, you got your Scott Halls.
Oh, Scott Hall.
You got, like I said, Edge.
Reza Ramon.
Hello, I'm Reza Ramon. And I am here to take over the WWF.
The craziest son of a bitch that I've ever seen on TV. He played that character.
God, so good.
And then didn't lose it when he became Scott Hall.
No, he was, hello, I'm Scott Hall.
And then all of a sudden he didn't have the accent anymore. But he kept the damn toothpick.
Well, yeah, because that was his game. That was his gimmick. He always
flicked. I'm not sure why.
Dude, do you remember?
Completely audio medium, I just flicked a toothpick at Daniel.
One of my most favorite moments of all of Scott Hall's career, he got in the ring with somebody, and I don't remember who it was, but the dude had a beard, and Scott Hall took that toothpick and flicked it towards him, and it went foink and stuck straight out from dude's beard. And the entire crowd, it was audible. The entire crowd erupts into laughter. And Scott Hall is almost going to break character.
But didn't.
He didn't.
But didn't.
But I would have lost it. I would have wet my pants.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine? No. It's like when you could tell Mick Foley was trying to make The Rock or Stone Cold laugh.
Yes.
And they would, you could just see they were chewing the inside of their mouth.
Yes.
Going, oh, I can't break. But this fool is driving me insane.
Yes.
But yeah, Razor Ramon, Scott Hall.
All of those guys. I mean.
Badass Billy Gunn.
Rey Mysterio.
Rey Mysterio.
A bunch of those luchas. Man.
Eddie Guerrero.
Chris Benoit.
Even though
you don't want to say it. Chris Benoit.
Chris Benoit.
British.
Loved him.
British Bulldog.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
No, Eddie Guerrero.
I probably despised his
entire career. Proving exactly how good he was at his job.
And then one that I want to put on the honorable mention just because. Owen Hart.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, because he was amazing. He was just as good as Bret, if not better in certain aspects.
And never really got...
He didn't get his push, but he just kept on trucking and
unfortunately left us way too soon.
Yeah, as the Blue Blazer.
Stupid ass gimmick.
But he played it. He did it.
Oh, no, sure.
Yeah.
But so many of those cats they got you and you would always see somebody who was really good and you were like, man, why don't they use
him? Why aren't they pushing him?
Yeah.
And I think.
And then you'd hear him talk and you'd go, oh, that's why. It's because they're morons.
They're dumber than a box of rocks.
And they can't put two syllables together. Yeah. And then they take Mark Henry, who's a good talker and a big guy, and he and Mae Young give birth to a hand. And on that note.
on that note, I think we've hit the penultimate level of our podcast here.
With that stuck in your head, the vision of old Mae Young giving birth to a hand.
It's a hand.
God, that was disgusting.
That note, I think we'll wrap our podcast, our gross ending to this podcast.
Thank you for wasting some time with us.
Go watch wrestling. Wrestling. WCW. Go
Google Rowdy Roddy Piper, Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
You made a good call there.
I'm telling you. Go find it and watch him just repeatedly bash the other man in the head with a coconut. Man. And it's a shame because I love Superfly Snuka as well.
Yeah.
But... God, that's another news that I don't honorable mention.
Yeah.
Coco Beware.
Oh, man.
And JYD. The
Oh, yeah. Junkyard Dog. Jake the Snake Roberts. Oh,
holy shit.
See, this podcast could go on. We're going to have to cut ourselves off.
Yes.
We've rambled for over an hour.
We'll let you waste more time with us next week.
This has been The Procrastination, the longest 10 minutes of your life.
This has been a ThisGeeksWorld.com podcast and was produced by Splash Media Works.